Welcome, everybody, to the Mystical Success Club. Thank you very, very much for agreeing to do it today instead of yesterday. And we've been playing those songs all to do with purpose and searching and all to do with the topic tonight. And the reason we're doing that topic is because I had had 3 emails in the past week all asking about vocation and purpose. So we have spoken about this before. However, because we have the January Light Transmission people, the Mystical Success Club members, and the Light Academy people all allowed to be on this call, all having access to it, I thought it would be good for those who have not heard us speak about this before. So how is everyone?
Good.
Excellent.
Excellent. I like that.
Very good.
Very good. Yay. So before I begin, does anyone have any questions or comments before we begin about anything else? Okay, so I'm going to do the prayer and the light transmission today will be for you all to truly be on purpose and have wonderful careers, whatever it is that you require for your happiness. How does that sound?
Fabulous.
Fabulous, good. Traveling at the speed of fabulosity once again. So, does anyone know what life purpose is? Of course, the Mystical Success Club members know. You're just waiting for me to say it, guys.
To see if you get it right.
Will you?
Just to see if I get it right, yeah. Good one, Ruth.
No, thank you. I know to serve.
Very nice. Yes, William, dear. Go ahead.
I suppose we're, our life purpose is to awaken to who we truly are, that we're vibrational beings. And since I started this path, I could never, ever have imagined where I'm going now compared to back then. If somebody said back then, this was my life's purpose and this is the path I was going to take, I would have told them they were mad. But I've never felt such happiness in the direction that I'm being pushed right now.
Pushed? Whoa.
Well, guided, sorry.
But
I never
knew
there was this type of happiness.
It's like that. It's like you get on the path and then eventually what happens is the divine just takes you there. Right, William?
Yes.
It's like you're going to do this. Oh. Wow. Okay. Who knew?
Well, I don't always say okay.
Yeah, they say God is in the details, right? But sometimes the details can be pretty freaking boring. When it's to do with vocation, anyway. So, I'm just going to mute everyone out so we can have a little silence. But first, before I do mute everyone out, first of all, to know, if anyone thinks that their purpose is to be happy, let me know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Part of, yes.
Well, the truth is, it's not. It's the icing on top of the cake to be happy in the human sense, I mean. You know, when people are just striving to do whatever they can to find happiness, they're not on purpose and they will never find happiness. You know, if it's just self-serving for their own happiness. That's what I mean, out in the world. But, of course, we've all find our happiness and our joy beyond bliss once we're truly going into those deep meditations which carry us right throughout the day into bliss and joy. And I'm going to give you a few little pointers today that will assist you when you are finding certain things in your life are a little bit of a drudgery. You know, you feel like, oh my God, I'm in Groundhog Day movie. Who knew? How do I get off this wheel? Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, yes, everyone, you know, you see all these people selling seminars for thousands of dollars. You come and listen to this seminar or go to this event or come to this webinar and you will find your life purpose. It's about your passion. It's about your passion. You've got to find your passion. And I will give you two words in one word for this teaching. Bullshit. It is not the truth. Passion is desire. It is a selfish way of looking at what you feel that you're supposed to be doing in your life, and it's rarely the truth. It's people teaching people to be egotistical and selfish, and they will never find true happiness that way, lasting, deep, fulfilling happiness in their vocation or in their life, if they are just following what they think will bring them happiness. And because people that will go ahead and attempt to do something that they think they're passionate about, it'll wear off, and eventually all the little details that they have to do for that particular thing will bore them. It has to go beyond passion. It has to be something that is deep within you, and it changes and fluctuates. The main purpose is, of course, enlightenment. Every single being that is born on this planet, every single one, animals, everyone, are here to be able to become free, to be consciously one with the divine. We have been given this great evolutionary blessing called the Kundalini. And that Kundalini is waiting at the base of the spine to come up, to open those chakras, to activate those chakras, I should say activate, not open, activate them, so that you can go into, when the heart chakra is activated, you can see who people are. There is no judgment. There is love, but you can see. You become very, very aware of when people are going through fear or if there's someone who is for you or against you, which is the correct road, whether they're telling you the truth or not, whether they're sincere or not, whether there's fear behind it, but there is some sincerity, if they're angry, but you can really see that they're coming from a loving heart, but they're just going through some sort of depression at that time, they're sort of wavering within their own spirit, you can see. And you have great compassion through that seeing. There is no judgment in that seeing. And when the third eye is activated, even if when it's starting to be activated a little bit and just starting to like move in and out and you can feel it burning there, you know, as it's being activated, that's what happens. You begin to really be able to know things as well, to be able to feel that guidance with no attachment until eventually it will take you. The heart chakra must be activated before the third eye can take you through the stargate. That is the way it works, because the beautiful Kundalini comes up, the Sushumna, Gopal Krishna. You can watch any of his videos when he was alive. There were some interviews done later when he was speaking about the evolutionary Kundalini and what happened to him. It's an amazing book about it as well. But what really happens when you're not in this world anymore, but you're still here, you see things that other people can't see. You are still a human being. You still put on your jeans one pant after another. You still have to go to the toilet and do everything else. But life becomes this mystical vision. You are in touch with the divine wisdom, and it's not like you are omniscient. It's just that you are given that divine wisdom, which is omniscient, when you do need to know something. It is miraculous, and you know it's not coming from your human consciousness. You know, no matter how many times scientists will attempt to understand, you know, but they cannot understand something that they can't scientifically prove. If they can scientifically say, oh yes, this vibrational thing went up when this person blessed this water or this happened, and, you know, Guruji, Mr. Trivedi, has done some great work and put in a huge amount of finances into having that scientific work done, which really just, it helps people borrow their faith, you know, at least gain a little belief that there is something beyond them, but they have to know that that is everywhere present, and that the miracle of the high vibration, of the high isolation of the divine to assist this world, once you are plugged into the divine, you are then merely the light bulb, and then your thoughts and your intention won't really be your thoughts and intention, it'll be the divine guiding you. And it's really quite miraculous. The things that you thought you wanted to do in your life or career will shift and change. And when change happens, you can go through many, many different states of mind. So you have to be very, very patient with yourself while these shifts are happening. And so this beautiful kundalini that is waiting to go up the Sushumna, up into paradise, to activate that crown chakra until you are completely, that kundalini is awakened all of the time. It's there pulsating in every cell of your being, no matter where you put your focus. If you focused on your big toe, you'd feel your heart beating there like two big hearts. You know, it's just everywhere, vibrating. Your bed vibrates at night. Everything vibrates. Eventually you get used to it. It's like when I first got steel plates in my body, in my hip and pelvis, it took a long time to get used to it, but eventually it becomes part of you. And it's the same as with the kundalini, as it's coming forth, as you are having more and more satori's, which modern people, I guess, call aha moments, but it's beyond an aha moment. It's a wisdom. It's an experience of something that you just know without logic, without intellect, because intellect has nothing to do with divine wisdom coming through. The things that will come out of your mouth will be astounding to you because you will be learning as it comes out, because the divine is working through you. And it is miraculous and humbling, and the majesty of what potential there is for the human. It is, there are many other planes of existence, many other forms. The human form is the most amazing form. The blood of the divine, the nectar of nirvana, is there waiting. And the reason in this day and age where so many people get what people call horny, or they want to have sex with a lot of people more than they used to. Trust me, once upon a time, the world was not so sexually oriented. And of course, one of the reasons is because people think one of, this is the thing, people think one of the reasons is because it's allowed now in most countries. You can have sex, you know, with a lot of different partners, and as long as you're careful and you don't get AIDS, or you're careful with your partners, that it's, you're not going to be thrown in jail. It's not like, oh, well, you can't get married if you're not a virgin anymore. You know, people would laugh at you. In fact, if you're a virgin before, you know, when you're about to get married, you're still a virgin, people think that's really unusual and quite, wow, that's, you know, is there something psychologically wrong with that person? They'll think. This is what happens. When there is so much information and so many things to do and so many distractions and so much intellect and so many things flying around in the intellectual world of the Maya, the mind rarely shuts down. And so the kundalini is activated through all of this stimuli, but it doesn't go up the Sushumna, so people get hornier than normal. True, this is what happens. And if you look back at Greek and Roman days, it was quite normal for all of those wealthier Greeks and Romans to have a bed boy. It wasn't considered gay. They could still have a wife. It was just, well, you know, you need to let your juices out every night with, you need a bed boy. It's just, you know, what you do. And that was back in, you know, when in the Roman days and the Greek days, particularly the Greeks. it was absolutely so much stimuli. There was so much intellect and so many things being discovered and written and philosophies, and it was an extremely potent time for the intellect, and sort of things went down a bit. And then in the last 30 to 40 years, oh my goodness, or more, so much stimuli, you know, particularly the last 30 years, so much stimuli, and people don't just sit out in the countryside and just sit and watch a tree or read a book under a tree or just contemplate their big toe anymore. They think they don't have time. They're too busy. So all of those ideal life before all of these facts and internet and television, people had took time to go to the beach with their family or just look at the ocean or just relax or look at a lake. They went for picnics. And so the sense of urgency to get on with your life wasn't so profound. And so people were calmer, much, much calmer. And they didn't know what was happening on the other side of the world, so ignorance was sort of like bliss back then. And so things weren't so head up sexually. You get a war going on or something crazy going on in the world, and then the intellect is stimulated, everyone's passions burn up, and that this should not be done, and that shouldn't be done, and everyone's like stampeding on the politicians, and you know, of course wars are terrible, but then all this stimuli gets everyone kundalini activated again, and it's not coming up to Sushumna because they're not being quiet. They're not practicing, in general population, they're not practicing any type of contemplation or quietness. Or, oh, I might just take up painting or gardening. All these things that you just, where your mind gets to be quiet, you just get to be in tune with nature or in tune with creativity, has flown out the window. Because once the kundalini comes up fully, you don't feel horny like that. It's beyond an orgasm, what you feel in meditation. It's truly an extraordinary experience. And if you do choose to then make love, you're making light with people then. There's light being made because where two or more are gathered, and there's a reason behind it each time, if you choose to still make love, that you do it. It's not like it's an urgency. There's no urgency within yourself to find someone to love you or for you to love, because you've got so much love within you. Of course you all do. Everyone does. However, it's not specifically to be in love. People search for love in someone else because of the fact that they haven't found that divine love, which allows you to be in love with God in each person, with the eternal in each person, which goes beyond any judgmental romantic love. And so for February, we are going to be really focusing on that divine romance, which will assist you to feel a joy within you, a gratitude within you that you are alive, so that you can begin. We'll be doing exercises during February, doing things that will help you feel a gratitude and a connection to your divinity that you may not have felt before, because it's extremely important to feel that. Not everyone is born a natural devotee, a natural bhakti, but you can get yourself that way. Anyone who can be in love with another human being can be in love with God, because it's God that you're loving when you're in love with a human being, but with no judgment, with no worrying, did you put your lipstick on before you went out? Is your shirt ironed? Did you brush your teeth? God doesn't care about that. And people are wonderful then. You can have wonderful relationships, wonderful friendships and harmonious relationships, because you see and feel and love the God within each person, that divinity, and people feel that. Everyone wants to feel that love, that vibration. They feel it when they're with you. Speaking of when they're with you, are you with me, everyone?
That's beautiful.
Yes.
Making sense?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay, so the purpose is to awaken as much as you can. Focus on the divine in this lifetime so that if you are reborn, you will take all of that power, all of that light from this life into your next, and you'll have a very, very different life experience. Right from the beginning, you'll be different to other people. You'll be guided in ways and find happiness in ways. You'll find it when you're reborn that way with that empowerment. You'll find it difficult to understand why other people aren't happy, and you'll want so much just to give other people happiness. It'll be like almost you'll feel like there's an insanity in the world that other people aren't happy, you know, and for others it will, that are taking that empowerment, they'll just feel a little bit weird in their own body for the, you know, for some of their life, that they're, you know, that this isn't real. What am I doing just in this, like John put it when he was a kid, you know, what am I doing in this blood and bones? I don't understand. It doesn't, it's not right. It doesn't connect, you know, because I'm omnipresent. Why am I in this body? Because you are omnipresent. Your consciousness is. And when you feel misplaced and not in tune or in harmony with the rest of society, it's because you have more light within you. You can go through depressions when you're younger, when you're that way, if you're not a natural bhakti, because you know that this isn't right. There's something off, and there's something that's not real about this world, and you would be correct in thinking that, because it's not real. It is not real. However, saying that, there is no way to give that experience to you. That comes through the grace of God when you absolutely know that this is not real. When you start seeing everything dissolve, buildings, everything, you just gaze at something and it's just, there's just light everywhere. And you realize there truly is just vibration. Things might feel solid and look solid, but it's just vibration. It's all energy. And so you want to be tapping into the energy that gives you purpose. So we're speaking about the main purpose is enlightenment, but then what if, you know, with your vocation, with what you do with your life to make money, and if you're wealthy enough to not have to work, which is a very rare bird, most people, even if they have a lot of money, still want some purpose. They still want to be doing something with their life that makes them feel fulfilled. One of the things that is extremely important with work, if you are on this path for real, is that you can look at whatever you're doing right now as an activity for the divine. Everyone must do some work. You can't just meditate for 24 hours a day. Truly, there are people that can. They are very, very rare indeed. In this world with so many people, it is actually healthy and healthier on this path to have work so that you have fulfillment within you. Because there are people that can go away into caves, and I'm talking about the ones that aren't enlightened yet, and just think that they can sit in a cave and become enlightened, but then when they're back in the world, they're too sensitive to the world, and they find everyone ugly and not caring, and they can't handle the world. To be on this path and to be in the world, but yet not of it, is an extremely empowering way to be on the path, because as you achieve, as you are graced and given and gifted more and more gifts of vision, of knowingness, of just so many gifts that the divine graces through us, you will have more compassion for the world and you'll feel much better about really wanting to be of service. It is important, however, to make money and to do work. If you are doing work that you absolutely hate, well, of course I'm going to say, look for other work. But some people don't know what their God-given gifts or talents are because they haven't been activated yet. They have taken them into this life from past lives, because everyone has gifts and talents and different things they did in past lives that you can take into this life. And of course you recognize them when they're there. For example, you may look at a piano and you just think, I know if I learnt, there's something within me that knows that if I sat down at a piano and actually took piano lessons, I could be really good at it. But you may not have a love for it. Just because you can do something doesn't mean that you're supposed to do it again in this life. If you don't have a real love for it, it may be something that you've done in a past life, and you have no need of that experience anymore. You've had that experience in a past life. So there will be times when you will find that you are gifted and you are extremely creative in certain ways, but there's something within you that just knows that that's not for you in this life. And so you do not travel down that particular path in that particular vocation. But you can have many, many different vocations in one life. So many. And that's fun to do that. No one is stuck in just one type of work. If you are doing work that you, it just really, really hate, well then, of course, you stop doing that and find something that you feel will give you inner fulfillment. And if you're doing work that you really hate, it must be work that is not being of service to other people in any way whatsoever. However, until such work comes along that you feel more fulfilled, you can treat your work as an activity to the light. You know, I look at even someone who's cleans carpets. They are bringing a great service. They are cleaning out lines of energy from someone's home or office. They are a great service. Anyone who cleans anything for other people, they are doing a great service for humanity, because when things are out of balance and dirty or dusty or there's garbage on the streets like in New York, you know, if the garbage truck people come along and I just say, God bless you, you know, for doing that, you know. They are of great service. So you will find there's certain people that love cleaning, love doing certain things. There's something within them that feels fulfilled at the end of the day. They know that they're good at it. And that's fine. No one needs to be Rockefeller. Oh, I'm sounding old. Rockefeller, you know what I mean. Richard Branson. But as you are on the path to enlightenment, the more you practice meditation, you will find that gifts and talents begin to be activated within you from past lives. You'll know certain things. And I'm here to tell you, everything that you do, every job, every experience, from a paperboy run to hairdressing to cleaning to washing windows or any sort of business you've been in, will all those experiences will assist you in your life. When you're doing other things, you'll be like, wow, I can do this because I once did that particular thing. And that's really helping me now with this particular thing. Because anything can be learned. Anything. It's A, B, C. However, if it's something that makes your head itch, makes you feel like you need to grind your teeth into the ground, then obviously your brain is, everyone's brain is, functions in different ways. And if it's something that really, really is extremely difficult for you to do, then you don't do it. Or you ease your way into some other sort of work that maybe takes some of the skill set from that job, but puts it somewhere else, into some other sort of work. So, okay, writing the book with William, it wasn't something that I felt extremely guided by the divine to do. And so I wasn't pushed, as William said, or pulled to do it in a timely manner that would have been timely for William anyway. But when I, one night I sat down and I said, this is going to be a gift to humanity. William is going to be helping so many people, and I wish for his consciousness to get out to the world so people can feel his consciousness and the wonderful things that he knows from all of his experience in the exercise field and training and boxing and all of the things that he's done. And look at him. He looks so young. He's so in shape for such an old man. No, he's not old. I'm just kidding. Younger than me, but anyway. you know, it's like, and to add the light to it that's in his consciousness. So then I said, okay, I'm going to dedicate this action of co-writing this book with William to the divine and to everyone who will read the book. And so that night I sat down and I didn't finish. I finished it in about a week completely, even though I'd done bits and snippets before that. And then it was done. But then I have to do the editing, and the editing takes a long time. The editing is really a more challenging part than writing a book as far as I'm concerned. And so, again, I did the same thing. I said, I am going to dedicate this editing to being the best so that when people read it, they will feel good, that there's not a huge amount of typos or mistakes and it's grammatically correct. And it took about 6 weeks of every night right through, you know, sometimes till 3 a.m. of editing again, editing another chapter. And it was right until the end when we'd even gone to print and we had to redo it again, that a couple of people read it and found 2 more mistakes. So it's like, but every time I dedicated that action of doing something that, you know, it's not, I'm not passionate about editing. I don't feel great joy in that. But when I dedicate anything that would normally make you grind your teeth, I get a wave of ecstasy through me. And as I'm doing it, I feel overjoyed with bliss. I enjoy it. I get to see if there were the mistakes. I do a better job at it as well. So when it is work that I normally would not enjoy doing, I don't want to say enjoy, but you know, it's not really my thing at that time. When I dedicate my activity to God, to all the people that are going to read it, to, you know, it's still got work to be done before I get it out there in big ways. You know, I still want to reformat that book, and there's certain things that I want to change, font sizes and an extra chapter I didn't tell William yet that I've written for it. And then once I'm 100% satisfied with it, that it's divinely good enough to be out there in the world, well, then we'll really go out there in the world and have it everywhere. But right now, it's still a great book, anyone who wants to get it. The 10-Up System, the 10upsystem.com. It adds a huge amount of light when you read it. You will feel that. And so that's just an example of what you can do, because no matter what sort of work you are going to do, there are always going to be sections or parts of that work that is not enjoyable, that you don't feel passionate about. But you have to look at the big picture. When you are making a tapestry, my mother does tapestries and they're beautiful, but I look at the cotton, the people from different parts of the world, from India, I think she gets the cotton. I'm sure they make it in China as well for tapestry making. The needles, everything, the cloth, the designs, everything that goes into it before she's even pushed the needle through that tapestry has been done by a lot of different people, a lot of details, a lot of sweat, I'm sure, for not much money. And then my mother will sit there and enjoy doing this tapestry. She's in total contemplation when she's doing it. So it's a beautiful thing for her when she took that up. And she makes these beautiful tapestries and gives each of us, you know, these gifts of these tapestries, and they're up on her wall. You know, like a woman from the 18th century gazing out the window with pretty flowers next to her in a vase. You know, she picks these really, the mood and the vibration that she's in as she does the tapestries is what comes out in the tapestry. And so you don't look at all the knots on the other side of the tapestry when it's finished, because they have to be knotted, things have to be done. But when you look at the tapestry in the finished picture, it's beautiful. And you can feel when someone's done a tapestry and they've been in contemplation and they've enjoyed doing it, you can feel the love through it. And that is the way we have to look at every project, every task, that it's to complete. We've got to look at it from the outside in. This is to complete a complete tapestry. And sometimes there may be people that you don't enjoy working with, and that may not be on the same page of life as you at that time, but you can look at that as an activity that you will dedicate being kind to them, not being a wallflower, not being a victim, but being polite, at least polite to these people. And what you can always write out, if you're not sure what it is that you want to do with your life, you just pray to God sincerely. You write it down sincerely. Dearest, dearest, dearest divine, thank you that I am doing work that I love to do, that is giving me at the end of each day inner fulfillment, purpose. I feel good about myself at the end of each day with this work that I'm doing. And I'm working. If it's work that you know that your work has to do with working with other people, you then can add. And I'm working with people that I love to work with. I like them very much. They like me very much. There's respect and loyalty. And we all feel good about our work together. And we make these beautiful things together. Every single person is respected. We respect each person's position in what they have to do to get this thing completed. Whatever it is, the work is. Or you can just, I'm doing work that I love to do, working with people I love to work with. I'm making great money doing what I love to do. I find great peace in this work. I have more patience doing this work than any work I'd ever done before, and I'm extremely grateful for this work. And then at the right divine time and the right divine place, you will hear the call, the opportunities. You will see that you didn't see before. And you, if you're meditating as well and your oscillation has gone up, that old self that didn't have enough power or even willpower or vibration to go ahead and take advantage, positive advantage of an opportunity that God had given you, you will then have the power and the energy to go and do that thing. And it'll be amazing to you. One of our Mystical Success Club members, they were downsizing at the work she was at. And we have been praying over the years for her to be doing work that she loved to do. And she kept getting work. But then eventually she ended up finding work that she really loved. She loved this, just one other lady that she was working with. They worked so well together. But then it was downsized, so her boss ended up getting her job and they brought someone else to do the other. And she, her attitude is so different now. She said, I know I'm going to get great work because every time I get a new job now, and I always get a new job, I like it even more than the last job. I like the people more. And she's seeing that. She has faith now. And the woman who fired her was crying and was all upset because she thought that this Mystical Success Club member would get all upset. And she said to me, I wasn't upset at all. She said, but this woman, it sort of touched me that she was, because I wasn't in fear. I knew that I'm going to get out of work. And she's actually been doing different courses on the sideline, different things that to see if she's interested in different things on the side. She's taking these courses. And there's another one of our members who's, you know, starting blog sites and doing different things. So you can be looking at other things that you feel is more artistic and maybe more fulfillment on the side, because you still need to pay your rent or your mortgage if you've got a mortgage or rent, if you're working, because you have to support yourself, you know, because not everyone is, I don't think it's a gift. I think just being given too much money when you're too young probably isn't a gift, because I think you grow when you have to do things that are challenging. You grow. Because when you can do something to the best of your ability that's challenging and really stretch yourself, well, then it's easy the next time. That same thing that you find so easy now and someone else is doing it and they're like pulling their hair out and you're like, let me help you with that. And it's just amazing grace. And then you end up working with people that you love to work with, which is just extraordinary. I've got John and Trevor and other people that come in and help, and Lou at the seminars and different people, and it's just extraordinary. You feel extraordinarily blessed and lucky and privileged to be in the company of people that are doing what they love to do and that are so good at what they do. And just a little pointer, if you are going to start your own business, always work with people who can do things really well that you can't do, that you know that you're not going to be good at, because it makes you grind your teeth. So we use every work that we do as an activity towards the divine, and to be as focused and in the now as we possibly can when we're doing it, so that that will help our mind be focused. Because an unfocused mind makes you too horny. See how I got around that circle? Any questions or comments? Oh, someone's got a lot of noisy things going on in the background, and I must have Lou remind me to remind the people not to do that in the beginning of the call. If they can't make it quiet when they're on the call and they're going to be in the world at the same time, it would be really lovely if they would not be on the call, because everyone wants to take in the light. Did that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did it assist anyone?
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Very good. For those that it didn't assist, do you have any questions?
Michelle, it's Elizabeth.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. since a couple years that I've been at the job that I am now, there's just been a tremendous change, not just in our building or my job, but kind of the whole area. And even the people that come into our office now, I see them, and I because I prepare, you know, before bed, and I prepare for my next day, and I just plug the light in my office, but I also plug it in the whole neighborhood, and I just think of joy and happy, and everybody's busy, and the light is bright, and there's the whole day just goes beautifully. And I see light off of people, some of the patients when they come in and they're sitting there, and everybody, I've not had one grumpy patient come into the office for probably like the last year and a half. It's just everybody is, it's just a total change. It really is beautiful.
Yeah, because that's your consciousness, Elizabeth, now. So someone might be normally a little grumpy, but they can't be in your presence because you've got such a high oscillation now that it's such a gentle unfolding, you don't notice it as much, but I see it so profoundly. And all the things that you've done and given, you've gifted your time at hospice places, and you've really worked on yourself tremendously. And, you know, hung in there when it's been a little challenging, because it's challenging when the ego's jumping all over the place when the light's hitting it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I love it. And I just, when patients come in, or even in my neighborhood, walking around, and New York can be a little tough, but there is so much joy. It's so beautiful. And even in my building, in the apartment, it's just joy. And I just thank the divine so much, because it is such a tremendous change. I could go on and on, but it's just so beautiful. Really.
And I'm extremely happy for you and everyone who gets to hang out with you. I'm happy for them. I remember when my teacher used to recommend certain movies, and I would be, when I'd go and see the movie or watch it at home, if it was a DVD, I would feel such love and joy, and I'd be so happy for the actress, because I would just think this enlightened being has looked at them, has, you know, like put her attention on them, which brings them light. It's so funny. Everything's different. It's like, oh, I'm so happy for that person. It's George Clooney. I'm so happy for him. He's getting some light today. My teacher's watching him. Which is the truth, but it's just everything, your perception shifts tremendously. Everything shifts tremendously. word of advice, no matter what you do in this life, our brains, our body, even if you feel at tremendous peace and tremendous bliss within you and quietness in your mind, the body, your human physical body, still will take on stress if there's a tremendous amount of things to do and people's attention on you. So it's also extremely important to take time out to be still, to not speak to anyone. If you can do 24 hours once a week, that will save your life and you'll live much longer and healthier. But even if you can just do a weekend once a month, even if it's just at home, you know, you don't talk to people. It might be hard in some people's homes, but you have to get out and just be still. And it's a really interesting exercise. If there's no one around and you're on your own and you're not going to be talking at all, not one word, and then you'll notice the inner chatter and you really work on that, then it's like, no, peace, be still. I'm just going to look at a beautiful lake. I'm just going to gaze the moon, just going to walk in nature to clear yourself, because there are power spots, energetically power spots on this planet where you can go and be revitalized immediately, and you know where they are for you. For some people, it might be fishing. It might be on a lake. I don't know why it would be fishing, because you're killing something, but still. That wouldn't be very pleasant. But anyway, the first time my father took us all fishing, I was a little girl, I cried my eyes out, and I just started hitting him, and I said, you can't do that, you can't do it. I mean, I literally started bashing into him. Stop it, stop it. So they put me on shore pretty quickly. Anyway, you know, you'll know the power spot for you. For some people, it may be the desert. You just know that's your spot. Your spirit feels cleansed there and great there. For someone else, it might be the ocean, the beach, walking on sand. For someone else, it's a beautiful forest or just sitting in a garden, in a botanical garden. You know what is good for you. I love to go to the Self-Realization Center that Yogananda built in Encinitas, which is not far from my place. I can just sit in that garden for hours, and I have many times, and the beach, or a lake, or a forest, or the trees, actually anywhere where I don't have to talk to people. And you can just be absolutely still with God. You have to get out of your home sometimes to feel cleansed. It doesn't always work from your own home. You have to get out of the cave. So I highly recommend everybody does that, because don't make decisions when you're feeling clogged or you're feeling like, wow, just my body is really like taking on a lot of stuff. It needs to be cleansed. You know, sometimes a beautiful bath with some Epsom salts will do the trick, and that's enough, and other times it's not enough. Thank you, Elizabeth.
You're welcome.
Anybody else?
This is William.
Go ahead.
On the subject you tapped on tonight about states of mind after meditation, I see all day that question was going through my head, and it's amazing you addressed it tonight.
Which question? I didn't hear. Is it clicking on your phone?
When you spoke about after meditation and going through a lot of states of mind, you spoke about at the start of the call. Because today I had a meditation and everything went well. The meditation lasted, I'd say, I went just about under 2 hours. Then I did the light transmissions. Then I did the prayer. And then afterwards I started going through fury of different mindsets. And I said, wow, after what I had a great time, and suddenly gone through all these different mindsets that were just flowing at me. That you addressed them there, because I was thinking, how could this happen after a good meditation?
Okay. William, when that happens, you must not do light transmissions to specific names. I know that your sister gives you all these names and all this stuff. You don't. You're taking on the attention of these people. So you have to clear yourself before you can do that again. So you wait at least 3 days before you do light transmissions for other people, okay?
Okay.
Because that means you're taking on their attention. And my teacher would speak about this sometimes, that it would sort of like interfere occasionally. And it doesn't come into, it never came into my mind when I did it, but it would, it still does, but it does affect my body because I am burning through people's karma. And so my body will feel stressed and in jeopardy. Not my mind, I don't have thoughts anymore or images like that. So I have to then go and take care of myself so that I can be strong enough to continue. Because I do them every day, so many people, every single day. So for you, you don't have to at this stage of your teaching and sending light do them every day, so do not. And I would, the divine knows who all those people are. So for you right now, it may be simply, you know, just anybody who is suffering or is requiring light, who is praying to God sincerely for help right now. Dearest God, give them the light. I speak to their divine presence rather than an individual name, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Because I know I went through how you were doing it with the names, but you can still do that, but you're taking on their attention. It's not you having lots of thoughts. It's their thoughts going into your consciousness, and then it's extremely important until your final awakening that you clear them out, because your enlightenment is more important than that, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Very good, Doug. Pretty awesome, huh? You're really connecting with them. So that's cool. Yeah, the other day I was like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up. And I was like, oh my God, someone must have been just so friggin' healed. So you actually get a wave of joy when you throw up. That'd be scared people that are going to be doing the Light Transmission Academy. It doesn't happen to have, it's very rare and it's worth it. Great. Anyone else?
Michelle?
Yes, Lou. Hello.
Hello. We have a comment from Tibeko on the webinar.
Tibeko, I love you so much. How's your little girl? Your new little girl. Two little girls.
His comment is, yes, been assisting for years, but I'll no longer have thoughts of quitting my job after this great information. Thanks, Michelle.
Well, Tibeko, what we're going to do for you, sweetheart, and I'll have Lou send me an email, is the Deeper Light Transmission Academy, you are going to be gifted that for February. You can be part of that as a gift because you deserve it, all the work that you've done and the teaching that you've done, and it's absolutely our privilege to be able to do that for some of you when that time comes. So, if you want it. Very good. Now everyone's going to want to talk up. All right. Let us go into this beautiful light transmission, which is going to be so joyful and happy. And then I'm going to do a lovely prayer for everybody's successful. You know, there's no one vocation. That's not the truth. Okay, there can be for certain people. They may be amazing singers, and that's they're musicians. But there's still a lot of different details in that vocation. So there's sort of like a lot of different things to do. It's sort of no one vocation is one vocation. There's still lots and lots of things to do. That's for sure. These in this day and age, you can't just get up there. But I would like to, before I begin that, is just to personally, of course personally, thank everyone who's so supportive to the Mystical Success Club, and I don't consider it to myself, I consider it to the club, because whenever you assist me, you are assisting all the rest of the members and all the different people that we are plugged into to send light to. So I want to thank you all very much for your support and your love. It is tremendously beautiful, including, of course, Lou, Darren, Suzanne, and, of course, Trevor and Johnny, and lots of other people. You know who you are. And for those, you know, it's just, it may not be support in the way you think. It's your love. It's your dedication to your meditation practice, to your growth, and to what you're doing in this world. It is joyful and beautiful to witness. Okay. So what we're going to do is you're just going to sit up straight with your spine straight. You're just going to listen to the music. And if you can, keep your mind quiet. If it starts going off with thoughts, just listen to the music again. If you're going to focus on a chakra, focus on your heart chakra, middle of your chest. And just let go. Take three deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. Feel yourself settled. And we shall now begin. I am overjoyed and grateful and so very happy for all on this webinar and anyone listening to it later, that the divine within you has gone before you and prepared the way, and that this light brings your oscillation and your consciousness to the highs of your true inner divinity. And that inner divinity I speak to go before them and prepare the way. Bring them the opportunities, and that they will see the opportunities. Awaken their God-given gifts and talents. May they find joy in this life, prosperity. May they have an experience of good fortune and inner peace. May they find themselves kinder to themselves and kinder to others, more harmony in their being. And may the karmas that were going to take them on a road that may not have been a very enjoyable road, I ask you, you compassionate, generous, giving, holy light, to burn that karma up. May your compassion and your generosity and your love be kind to them. Help them. They are your children. You live within them. They are your true self. I thank you for helping them, for bringing them the gift of gratitude of life, gratitude for just their little fingers, the fact that they can wiggle their toes, can hear this call, can love. May that love turn towards the inner light, which is their truth, and guide them to do extraordinarily, for them, extraordinarily happy things. And for those that don't have work that they love, I give thanks that they are employed or self-employed or do the work that they love to do with people that appreciate them. As they appreciate others, they will be appreciated. And make good money doing what they love to do. And may money come to them as well, from expected and totally unexpected divine holy ways. Look after these souls that are on the path that have asked for divine help. You are the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, giving, generous, holy light. All giving, all loving. May they all realize that, accept it, be open and receptive to receiving and to giving. God bless them greatly. They are all 100% God-governed. And that is always good. May they find more compassion, less judgment, more joy, and much more gratitude for their life. Thank you, divine, eternal, beautiful light. Thank you. Just remember, everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Lego movie, for those who are like, what you saying? And then then you'll just wake up, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a wonderful feeling. Everything's going my way. What a wonderful song. Any questions before we close this wonderful, happy webinar, whatever it's called? We're all here together, all in different countries, different time zones, and that time doesn't exist. We're here now in this eternal moment, and it's a beautiful thing. Just to remind everyone, there is no webinar next week. However, we will be starting the 4-week Light Academy on the 1st of February, the Divine Romance Month. For those that are not Mystical Success Club members, I highly recommend you just follow your heart and have a look at that, because it's something that can be quite extraordinary in your life. Any questions on the webinar, Luke?
No questions on the webinar, but like I said, regarding what you offered, yes, I do want it. Thank you, Michelle. My two girls are doing great.
Oh, fantastic, Tibeca. Wonderful. All right, my darlings. I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you so much. I do. I do, I do, I do, I do. I love you so much. I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you all greatly. And for February, happy romance to the Divine Romance Month, and yeah, you're all my Valentines.
Love you.
Beautiful. Love you.
Thank you.
Love
you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lots of love.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.